Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Hello and Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Chulin Daf Lamed Zayin. We are holding at the Mishnah, which is three lines off the top. Says the Mishnah, Shaychet es ha-Mesukenes. If one chooses to shecht a Mesukenes animal, Mesukenes is an animal on the verge of death. So he's going to quickly seize the opportunity before the animal dies and turns into an avela. He's going to try to shecht it to make it consumable, to make it kosher. Now, how do you define the Mesukenes stage? The Gemara later will discuss this in detail. So an animal is weak, it's ill, about to die, and he does a quick shechita. So you would think it's okay, what's the problem? But as Rashi explains, there's a concern that perhaps the animal, due to its extreme weakness, might expire before the shechita concludes, in which case, since it didn't experience a full shechita, it's an avela. So how do you determine? How do you confirm that the animal actually survived the shechita process? And its life was only terminated by the actual shechita, and not just died of natural causes. Hashechet as mesukenes. So you need some sort of indication, a siman, a strong sign of life, which was expressed during the shechita, to indicate that the life force, the level of chiyus in the behemoth was still very strongly there. In which case it experienced a proper shechita, and the shechita, the act of shechita, is what terminated its life, in which case it's kosher. So what's a strong sign of life? We have three opinions. Rabban Shimon Gamliel, Omer, some change it to Rabban Gamliel, that's the first opinion. Omer, he says, Asha tefarches, it has to quiver, has to shake. Beyadu beregel, its hand and its foot. So if this happens, that's an indication of a strong level of life, of chiyus that was present, in which case we can assume that it was alive until the end of the shechita, and the shechita was a valid one. Lazo Omer, he says you don't need such a grand presentation. Lazo Omer, dayim zinka, it's enough. If you noted that the blood was oozing out with force, indicating that in fact there was sufficient life during the shechit. Amar Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so picking up on this thread, says Rabbi Shimon, suppose you weren't able to notice the flow of blood. It was dark, it was at night. Hashechet balayla. Ulumacha, the next morning, Hishkim, he gets up. Umatzab kesalim leim dam. He sees the walls. Rashi explains the walls here are not the actual walls of the house. I'm talking about the walls of the base of shechita, meaning near the place of shechita, the neck. Malayim dam, full of blood, which indicates that there was an oozing. Ksheira. Once again, that's adequate, and the animal's kosher. Why? Because this is proof that there was oozing. Shazinka. Ukemida shabelezer, and this in fact follows Rabelezer's shita, that this indication is enough. Okay, we have two shitas so far. Rabban Gamliel, he need perchos biyadu beregel, shaking of hand and foot. Rabelezer says, zinka, oozing of blood. Here comes the third sheet. V'chacham ma'imrim. Ache tefarches oy biyad oy beregel. You don't need hand and foot to experience pirchas. One or the other is enough. Okay, so if the animal moves its hand or its foot, that's enough. Oy, another option is ache tekashkesh biznava. It wiggled its tail. Echad behimadako. So this applies to both types of animals. The lighter animals, like a goat, a sheep, or a behemagas, a heavy animal, cattle. Now, but there are differences. Behemadaka shepashta yada v'leich zira psula. If the behemadaka was observed extending his hand during the shechita without retracting it, psula, that's not adequate sign of life. Why? It's just an expression of the expiry of the animal, but it isn't a sign of real life. So, in contrast to behemah gas, we're even extending just one way. Motion is enough, is adequate expression of life. Himudaka is just a reflexive action. It's not going to be sufficient. Now, all this, all these requirements are only once the animal has been established as ill, as weak. So you need this indicator to indicate the presence of sufficient life. Vameh devar mamurim, when does this all apply? The animal was established as a mesukenes. So since it's sort of teetering, you need these simanim to master the animal. Avalim hoyse b'cheskas briyav. If the animal is known to be okay, well, fully healthy, in that case, there's no reason to suspect anything. Even if the animal does not express any of these indicators, it just dies quietly. It's okay, it's kshera, because we have all the reason to believe that the animal is full of life, and there's nothing wrong with the shechita. Okay, so in a nutshell, a behem which is defined as a mesukenes, which will be explained later, must exhibit some signs of life during the shechita to indicate that the animal actually survived until the end of shechita and was actually shechted. There are three shitas. Pirchas biyad beregel, that's Rav Gamliel. Chacham say yad oy beregel. Rav Lezer adds zinka is enough. The shooting, the oozing of the dam is enough of expression of life, and that's enough. Says the Gemara, hold it. You're assuming that an animal who's experiencing such extreme weakness prior to shechita is going to be kosher if shechted properly? Who's to say? Perhaps once the animal's on the verge of death, it's like half dead. It's like an avela. Mesukenes mimaydi sharia. How do we even know that a mesukenes is permitted if it experienced a proper shechita? That's the question. Response to the Gemara. I mean, let me ask you, and why would you say it's asur? What is your basis for assuming otherwise? Umimaydi tesik aydaitan da asura. Why would you even suggest that it's asur? You have no pasuk to, indicate such. Well, the pasuk does say zois ha-chaya asher toich, and this can be learned as chaya, full of life. Only an animal which is full of life that could be eaten by way of shechita. Chaya, a fully healthy normal animal, echol, that could be eaten through shechita. But v'she'en ha-chaya, if an animal is not fully alive, it's on the verge, perhaps lo soichad, you can't eat it. So it's an inference from a mitzvah asay. It's called a lav habo mechlal asay. The Torah states something positive with an inference to the contrary, such as over here. If it's chaya, eat it, which means if otherwise don't, that's called a lav habo mechlal asay. So that's called an asay, which means to say that if one eats it, he has violated an asay. Okay, v'am mesukenes. So this animal, which is deemed mesukenes, ain't a chaya. It's not really chayav because it's not going to live too much longer. It's on the verge of death. So perhaps it's asur. That's the question. So how do we know otherwise? Well, says the Gemara, I'll prove to you that really a mesukenes is okay. Why? Since the Gemara warns against the pasuk warns against eating a dead animal carcass in a vela. What does that tell you about a mesukenes? It's okay. Machlal. That infers that mesukenes is okay. It's sharia. Because otherwise, once the mesukenes, which is merely on the verge, is usher, then of course once it dies, it's usher. Right? So what does the Torah have to say nevela is usher? These are gedaydach. Because if you're going to tell me, even a mesukenes who's on the verge of death is already asir, is already forbidden, so then obviously a nevela who died, of course, is usher. Why even mention that? Hashta mechayim asir. If this very animal is usher, even during its lifetime, could it about to die, lachar misa meboyi? Why even mention? It goes without saying, obviously, that once it's dead, it can't eat it. So that proves to us that, in fact, mesukenes is okay, and only after death, where it's a real nevela, then it's us. No, says the one, perhaps you can say, hainu nevela, hainu mesukenes. actually, the word nevela can be translated as musukanas. So perhaps Rashi explains that the term nevela applies already during its lifetime, when it's on the verge of death, when it's slated to die. And on that, the Torah says, don't eat it because it's nevela. So now you have two isurim. One is the mitzvah saseh, zayis hachaya, and one is don't eat a nevela. Nevela is saicha. So again, perhaps abmesukenes is really asur. You can't say that. That's not really an option. Why? The chsiv, the pasuk says, a nevela only happens after death. So you can't say it was there during its lifetime. The chsiv, v'chi yomis mena behema. When the animal dies, right? Asher hilachem la'achla, and I gave an avlasa. Now it's called a nevela. Only la'achar misa, after death, who the cry yirachmon a nevela. The term nevela only applies after death, and only after death. Menchayim during its lifetime, despite being on the verge, no, la'ikru nevela, it's not called a nevela. So again, that proves our point that Mesukenes is Mutter. Right? Because otherwise, meaning if it's already Usher when it's on the verge, and of course it's Usher after death, why add that point? Why discuss an avail if it's already Usher? Says Gemara, no. I'll tell you why. Maybe it's really Usher to a certain extent during its lifetime. Because of that mitzvah saseh, so it's achaya, and that gets exacerbated when it dies. There's another layer of iser that applies later, mevela. It's the very same animal. When it's a mesukenes, only on the verge of death, has a limited iser, and that gets multiplied after its death. It gets deeper. Another layer, because of its mevela status. Okay, v'duma, perhaps lo'ilma emelach, perhaps I can tell you, hainu nevela, hainu mesukenes. Really, a nevela can be going on an animal that was already mesukenes during its lifetime. But during the lifetime of the animal, there's only a limited iser asay. And after death, Moyser lands on it, becomes a nevela as well. Lo'ilam emlach hainu nevela hainu mesukenes. It's just that Mechaim, during its lifetime, when it's merely on the verge, there's a limited prohibition. It's only an aseh, but aseh, lachar misa, after it dies, but lav. Lav comes upon it as well. So again, how do you know otherwise? You're right. We can't really prove from here. We're going to shift gears and try to prove it from a different halach. The fact that Torah warns against eating a treifa. Rashi explains your typical treifa is an animal who has an internal wound, punctured punctured lung, right? All these types of wounds. Don't eat it. Treifa leseich. So what does that tell you? About a mesukenes mechlal, the mesukenes sharia. Apparently, mesukenes is okay. Why? These are gadaitach mesukenes asir, because if a mesukenes is asir, so once that's asir, of course a treifa is asir. It goes without saying. And that's redundant, right? Hashta mesukenes. Look, even a mesukenes, the lim mechasr, which is not missing any limbs. I mean, it's a complete animal, it's just an extremely ill or weak animal. Lim mechasr, it's not really missing anything. Not like a treifa that's missing some. Still, we're saying it's asir, it's forbidden. Treifa, but of course, a treifa, which is missing a piece, is missing a limb, it's wounded, it's punctured, right? Of course, it's asir, but it goes without saying. So again, that proves to us that mesukenes is okay, because otherwise, look, a mesukenes can't live, and a treifa can't live. And if a mesukenes is already also, despite the fact that it's not really wounded or missing anything critical in the animal, certainly a treva, which is even worse, in a worse shape than a mesukenes. Of course it's asa. Why does the Torah bother saying treva is asa? Oh, apparently because a mesukenes is really mutter. Unlike your suggestion. And only a treva, which is really wounded or injured, that's asa. Well, who says? Vedilma, perhaps. Pretty much like a repetition of the previous Gemara. Just over there we spoke about Nevela, we're talking about Trefa. But then perhaps Haino Trefa and Musukenes. Perhaps just the opposite. Even a Musukenes on the verge of death is already classified as Trefa. Rashi explains that the term Trefa, according to this stage in the Gemara, according to this suggestion, just means an animal on the verge. Kroi Balamas. An animal that's not going to survive. Haino Trefa and Musukenes. V'laver olav v'asei v'leisas, and Torah just adding, in addition to the zeis hachaya pasuk, that is a mitzvah sasei violation upon eating the mesukenes, there's also a leis hasei. Okay, so again, perhaps go back to that suggestion that it really a mesukenes is usher on account of being a mesukenes. That's the asei of zeis hachaya, and also it's called a treif. Says the Gemara in Cain, if that were the case, here comes a question. Nevela de kos rachman alamali. So why does the Torah even bother informing us that a nevela, meaning an animal that dies, is called a nevela, you can't eat it? Why bother saying that? Lomeli. Look, even during its lifetime, when it's merely on the verge, you already have an asay and a lois asay, of course, once it dies, right? Lomeli, umam machayim. Even during its lifetime, when it's merely on the verge, when you're expecting death, there's a lav and asay. Asay is a sechay, the lav is a trefel esaychal, a chamisim. But of course, after it dies, it's us. Well, says the Gemara, no. Maybe the point of the pasuk is just to add a third isser. V'dil ma'ayin and avay, lam trefel, perhaps. We're talking about the same animal. It's going in this very case, and just kind of add, just coming to add another layer of Yisr. V'dilma ha'inu nevelo, ha'inu treif, ha'inu mesukenes. It's all one and the same family. So the animal on the verge is called a mesukenes, it's called a treif. There's an asein lois asein. When it dies, another layer of Yisr lands on it, the Yisr nevelo. V'lavar alav v'shnei lavan v'asei, to give you a total of three, a full package of prohibitions. Zeis hachaya because of mesukenes, treva leisechel because of mesukenes, and now once it dies, nevela leisechel. So back to our suggestion, perhaps mesukenes is really yosher. El mihacha, here is the proof that it's not. V'chelu nevela, v'chelu treva yosel chamalacha, v'achal leisechlu. The pasuk is saying, look, the chelav, the fats, they can be used for production, for manufacturing. They're not metame, but don't eat it. The issur of eating a chelav isn't just by a regular animal. Even a chelav of a nevela or a treif is also asur. And the obvious question is, isn't it obvious? I mean, chelav is asur. Why would I think, this is different? V'arma, we explained on this. L'may hilchasa. Amrat, l'may hilchasa. What's the added point in this pasuk? Why are we stressing that it's asur? Amrat, Torah is telling us. Yavar Isur Nevela V'yachal Isur Chelev. So this Chelev had a pre-existing Isur because it's Chelev. Now that it turned to Nevela, another layer of Isur adds on it. Gets added to the previous Isur. And now one eats it, he's violated two Isur, Chelev and Nevela. Likewise, V'yavar Isur Treif V'yachal Isur Chelev. If it's a Treifa, the Chelev now gets two layers of Isur. The pre-existing Isur because of Chelev, and now because it became a treifa. We don't say, look, we can't pile one is on the other. That's the point of the pasuk. Okay. Having said that, we turn to the base. This is going to be proving our point. So the question is, why does the Torah have to itemize it like this? You should know that the Isra of Nevela lands on the Isra of Chelev. The Isra of Trefa lands on the Isra of Chelev. Why this repetition? Just say one and we know the other. Why? Once we know that if we say that the animal on the verge of death is usher on account of treifa, it's classified as a treifa. Treifa anu misukenes. So look, treifa is merely on the verge of death. It's not dead yet. And still the Torah says, look, the Isra, treifa lands on the Isra chelev. Now let's picture it. The animal now dies. Isn't it obvious that the extra Isra of Nevela will come and land on that chelev? Look, even the Isra treifa, which is merely due to the anticipation, the expectation of death, that comes and adds another layer of Isra on the chelev, certainly death itself. If the process leading to death has this effect, certainly death itself. So it's obvious that the Isra of Nevela will come and land on the Isra of Chelev. It's already sort of been indicated in the pasuk. Why this repetition? Again, Visa Gedaya Treifa and Musukenes. If an animal which is considered Musukenes is already also on account of Treifa, that triggers a question. Lichter Rachman, the pasuk should simply state like this. Chelev Nevela, Yosel Chamaloch. Okay, you can use the Chelev, whatever you need, that's one point. There's no concerns about Tumah. And then simply state the chelev treifa leisachlu. One may not eat chelev of a treifa, meaning that the extra treifa prohibition gets added on top of the old isra of chelev for a total of two isur. Now I automatically know. Certainly, if the animal dies and achieves nevela status, of course that iser will add another layer as well. But I mean, I'll figure it out on my own. Uma michayim. If even during the lifetime of the animal, when it was a mesukenes, when it was classified as an iser treif, according to our suggestion, because it was on the verge of death. So merely on the verge is already sufficient. Iser treif, the iser treif comes and lands and gets added chayil. Certainly, of course, once it dies, once it experiences actual death, of course, that nevela status will come and be added to the equation. Oh, element of rachmana nevela. Rather, the very fact that the pasuk has to single out that the Isra nevela is a player upon the chelev. Michlal, that teaches us the treifa lav hainu misukenes. And the answer is no. That an animal on the verge of death is not a treifa. It's only a misukenes, which is not usher, on account of, you know. So, in this case, there was no iser added to the chelev. A real treifa, a treifa which has an internal wound, yeah, that's a treifa. On that, the pasuk says, don't eat that chelev, because it's chelev and also because it's treifa. But an animal which isn't technically a treifa, it's not missing any limbs, or it's just mesukenes, on the verge of death. There is no iser at that point. Only once it dies. Ow, it's classified as nevela. Oh, now it becomes asr. On this, the Torah says, by the way, iser nevela comes and lands on the iser chelev to make it doubly asr. So again, this points to us. This proves to us that a mesukenes is not really us. Maskev l'Rav, my Rav Ashi, I have a question on this conclusion. Vaduma, perhaps, no. Lo'ilam emelach, perhaps I can still insist. Hainu treifa, hainu mesukenes. Even a mesukenes is also classified as a treifa and it's us. As per your question, or the commerce, regarding your question, if so, that the animal on the verge of death is already considered a treifa and is already asr on account of that reason, in which case the chelev already got that extra layer of iser. So if so, why does the Torah have to go out of its way and tell you, oh, once it dies, it's nevela, the chelev is asr for that reason as well? Well, if on the verge is asr, certainly once it experienced death, it would be asr. The Gemara, as per your question, nevela, the kos, rachman, why does the Torah have to point out There's a nevela on the chelav. Because once it underwent this transitional period, this pre-death, this verge of death stage, which triggers an iser of treifa / mesukenes, of course death itself will have the same effect. The answer is, could you think of a case of an animal that died, a behemoth that was made so without transitioning, without going through this in-between stage? It went straight from full life to absolute death. It was killed. It was cut in half. So for that case where the animal never experienced that intermediary stage, that in-between status, it just died straight out. On this, Torah has to say, well, guess what? The Isra Nevela just arrived, lands on the Chalev. So your question is valid, but there's a case where it went straight, shortcut from life to death directly. And for that, Torah has to say, well, guess what? Isra Nevela is Chal on the Isra Chalev. Look, Amr's Nevela, because Rahman Alamli, as per your question, Lach Nevela, it's referring to a very specific Nevela, the Layasim Kech Mesukanis, which never experienced that verge of death. What's the example? Shasa Gistri, cut in half. Well, some Nami there as well, Yefshar, it's impossible. We have Mesukenes Porta, that hadn't experienced even a minute moment of Mesukenes status. Mekame the Lifsak Laruba, before the, the majority was cut through, was sliced. So, inevitably, did experience some transitional, stage, in which case it was stamped as a Mesukenes, and if a Mesukenes is Aser, and obviously the next stage would be Aser as well, which makes the Pasuk redundant, which proves our point, that in fact, an animal on the verge of death is not Aser. Okay, there goes our proof. Okay, so the Gemara started with the question, how do we even know Mesukenes is okay? Mishnah says Mesukenes is okay, provided exhibits signs of life during the Shechita. How do we even know Mesukenes is okay? Perhaps half dead is like an event. We proved it from this pasuk. We buy the same, another raya to this point, in Cain. If so, that the animal on the verge, the animal that's Mesukenes is Aser, lay mochelo and veil of a treifa. The Torah would refer to the Isra, Nevela, and Trefa that lands on the Chalev. It's just say it in short form, Chalev, Nevela, Trefa, without expressing the word Chalev twice. Why does the Pasuk have to say Chalev, Nevela, Chalev, Trefa, Chalev, Chalev, why the extra words? To teach us something. That Why mention the word chelav again, right? Next to the word treifa, to teach us that only a real treifa who's missing that lung, only that real treifa is completely us. Zui, this one, this type of animal, this type of injury generates an iser, a complete comprehensive iser on the entire animal. She'ein chel b'cholok m'sara. There's no differentiation between the chelav and the basar. The entire animal is asar. It's a treifa. Yesh l'acheres, but there's a different type of animal, which is very similar but very different, where the flesh is mutter, a mesukenes. You can eat it. The chelav is asar, but the flesh is okay. So there's a strong differentiation between the chelav and the basar in that case. We have a different type. The status of the chelav is different than the basar. Although chelav is also, but the basar is mut beizoy. So which one is that? Zumusukenes. That's our good friend, the musukenes, which is really mut. But you say, here comes a third proof that it's mut mehach. After Hashem instructs him to eat this, speaks to him about involvement in impurities, and he says, no, Hashem, I'm totally clean, I'm pure. Va'aymar, aha, Hashem, bo Hashem, elokim, hini, nafshilom etumah. I was always careful from interacting with tumah. U'nevelo trefa lo yechalti min urai. From way back, I never ingested nevelo trefa, va'adat, until today. V'lo'ybo b'pi b'sar pigo. I never ate b'sar pigo, to be explained in a minute. So Yecheskel is presenting that he kept away from all these types of problematic materials, questionable materials. Let's break them down phrase by phrase. Hinei nafshlo mitumo. I steered clear of impurities. What does that mean? Even in terms of what's going on in my mind, I maintain purity, I maintain clarity. I would refrain from engaging in improper thoughts during daytime, which can generate impurity during nighttime through emissions. Ubasu de tum v'alayla. Number two, v'nevela treifa l'yachalti min ura. I never ate nevela treifa. Now, obviously, I mean, that's straight, plain usur. Why is he highlighting that? Even questionable animals I wouldn't eat. Shleichalti, basar. I never ate meat from an animal that was shechted in a hurry because it was on the verge of death. Our good friend, the Musukenes. Kois, kois, shech, shech. Quickly, get the knife, shech before it dies. I kept away from that. There was an element of impropriety, element of lack of life, of nevela, even though technically, halachically, it's okay, but I kept away. He was machmer, kept higher standards. I never ate psar pigel, which means, in this case, shleichalti bebehema, shere b'chacham. Pigel, as we know, is connected to the mindset of the person doing the avoida and the carbon, right? He's thinking improper, you know, planning, makes it pigel. So by extension, I wouldn't eat behema shahir b'chacham, an animal which had some sort of question on a halacha, which was taken to the Rav to rule on it, even that I kept away from. An animal that was analyzed and contemplated upon. Mishum b'nasan amru. He has a different shot in this last one. Shleichaltim behema shlehur matneseo. So Rashi explains this, despite Yecheskel being a kohen, in which case he's exempt from separating the matanis of the animal, the zroya, the forearm, the chayim, the cheek area, the cave of the stomach, which is typically given to a kohen. In this case, he was exempt, but he was machmir. He wouldn't eat from a behema whose matanis were not separated and give it to the kohen. Okay, so let's just go back for a second. He kept away from besar kois kois, from the quickly shechted animal. And it's being highlighted as a chumrah, as something special. What does that tell you about the plain halacha on that animal? Obviously, it's okay. Obviously, it's acceptable. Yaros b'shlem, certainly this works if it's sharia, if it's technically okay, from Sokenes is moteres, hainu b'se d'cheskos. That's a true expression of the higher standards d'cheskel maintained. He kept away despite the fact that it was okay in halacha. Eli amras asira, but if you're going to tell me Sokenes is halachically forbidden, so what's the big deal that he kept away from it? It's forbidden. My rabus say d'cheskel. What's the big deal that d'cheskel didn't need it? So again, that proves our point on Sokenes is moter. It brings a total rise to three. A three rise, then in fact it's mutz. Okay, one more last point. What exactly is a mesukenes? What defines the mesukenes stage? Yechidami mesukenes. It must be an animal that is exhibiting extreme weakness. Omer vidam arav, kol shem amid noisi, try to get it up. Get it to stand, and it can't stand on its own. Veni amedes. He adds, this is regarded as Mesukenes, even though he has strong teeth and he's chewing through blocks of wood. That's irrelevant. The fact is, the animal is in an extreme state of weakness. It's a Mesukenes. He adds, even if he's chewing through beams. So the aforementioned version was presented in Surah, but this is a different version of this discussion. Eichidami Mesukenes, how do you define a Mesukenes? Omer Gidam a Rav, it's Rav himself, elaborated more than earlier. Kol Shem Amidin Oysa Veinei Medes, the animal can't stand it up. Vafilo Cheles B'Kayis, and he added this point as well. So earlier, this part was quoted from Rav Chanina, according to this version, Rav Yidam a Rav himself. Continues on, he says, I feel the chalas b'kais, even though he's been observed chewing through blocks of wood, that doesn't really mitigate his situation. Rami bar Yecheskel, Amar, I feel the chalas curse, even if he's chewing beams. And Rashi says, it's not really machloek, he's just presenting a different illustration. Okay, so bottom line is, Emesu Kenes, who's extremely weak, can't keep up his own weight, it's technically okay. But in order to preempt any concerns that the animal perhaps died mid-shechita, did not really experience a full shechita, the animal is only mutter if it exhibited signs of life, strong signs of life, significant signs of life, which is listed out in the Mishnah. According to those three opinions, one sheet is Pirchas b'yad b'regel, one sheet says just yad or regel, or kishkish b'znava, according to the other sheet, zinka, exuding of blood by force, is a sufficient sign of life to permit the animal. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rav.